In this message, our first from our annual Missions Summit, guest minister Bishop Spencer Jones brings the word from Luke chapter 10 and challenges us to rise in the name of Jesus and reach out with compassion to those around us.
Thank you. What a blessing it is to be here today. And speaking about church, this is a great church. And it's a great church because you have a great leader and people like you. You are blessed. Sometimes we don't recognize how blessed we are until we don't have what we have. You are blessed to have an outstanding leader here, and I pray that you will do everything you can to help him build God's kingdom for the glory of God. Amen? I learned as a leader in Chicago. He was my bishop presbyter for years. I learned so much under him, and I'm still learning. He gave me some books yesterday, so I'm still learning. Thank the Lord for that. Since I was here last, we started a church in Chicago, in the Brownsville area in Chicago. And if the Lord should tarry, allow me to come back, I pray that I'll be able to say we started another church in the Austin community. There are four communities that give Chicago a bad name. One is the Roseland community, it's the Inglewood community, is the Austin community, and then there's the Hispanic community. I'm just missing that. You help me with that. But there are four communities that give Chicago a bad name. Amen. Thank you. Why don't we take the Bible? I asked the pastor if I could preach down here this morning, because of the type of sermon, I'm going to demonstrate it. A little later on, I've met a lot of people since I've been here. I've met John and Michael and Dan and stuff like that, but probably one of the guys that met most that stand out is a little guy named Levi. He's going to help me when I call him. I'm not ready yet. He's going to help me preach. Why don't we stand at an act of reverence to God? One day, an expert in religious law stood up to test Jesus by asking him this question: "Teacher, what should I do to inherit eternal life?" Jesus replied, "What does the law of Moses say, and how do you read it?" The man answered, "You must love the Lord thy God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, with all your mind, and love your neighbor." "Right," Jesus told him, "do this and you will live." The man wanted to justify his actions, so he asked Jesus, "Who is my neighbor?" Jesus replied with a story of a Jewish man was traveling from Jerusalem to Jericho. And he was attacked by bandits. They stripped him of his clothes, beat him up, and left him half dead beside the road. By chance, a priest came along. When he saw the man lying there, he crossed to the other side of the Samaritan and came compassion for him. He went over to him. The Samaritan soothed his wound with olive oil and wine and bandaged him up. Then put the man on his own donkey and took him to an inn. Where he took care of him, the next day he handed the innkeeper 2 silver coins, telling him, "Take care of this man. If the bill runs higher than this, I'll pay you the next time." "Now, which of these three would you say was a neighbor to the man who was attacked by bandits?" Jesus replied. The man replied, "Then Jesus said, yes, now go and do like that." Lord, we thank you that you're so great and so wonderful. We thank you for the people that have gathered here to worship you and praise you and honor you and to hear from you this morning. I pray that God, as I preach your word, help me to preach your word with purpose, with power, with authority, and most of all, with the anointing of God. And may there be a demonstration, Lord. We ask that right now in the name of Jesus for the glory of God. And all God's people says, you may be seated. Today, I want to talk to you. I'll call it back in a little while. I want to talk to you about what is your response to your neighbor. What is your response to your neighbor? I lived on a block in Chicago for 25 years. And in living on that block, I got to know everybody. On a typical block in Chicago, there are 30 to 32 houses. I got to know everybody on that block. I was the block club president. And everybody. And when there was a need, whether there somebody got sick, or somebody went through a divorce, or somebody need counseling, I always was there because they were my neighbor and they were in need. I moved off that block. I thought I loved the lost, the loved one. Then I moved on another block, and I was only there for less than 2 years, and I was able to influence 8 of those neighbors to go to the church I pastored. And then I moved on the next block, and I was only there for 2 years. I was able to influence 2 of those neighbors to come to the church I pastored. And then I moved on a block where I'm at now. For the last 20 years, I've been there. And I call that block, it's full of the yuppies. And what I mean by that, they make anywhere from $75,000 to $200,000 a year. I'm the only downer on that block. I'm probably make less than $30,000 a year. But that, see, yuppies don't see the need of God. And I've been ministering to yuppies. I've been able to get two of the yuppies to come to the church that I work at. You see, I have tried to demonstrate the love of God to my neighbor, people that are lost, people that are in need, whether they're in Chicago or wherever they're at. I see a need and I endeavor to rise in the name of Jesus and do it. The story I read to you today tells about Jesus was teaching one day, and a lawyer stepped in the back probably, and at the conclusion of Jesus' message, he raised a question, Jesus, he's like, "Hey, teacher! Would you tell me how to have eternal life?" I mean, no, people still want to know how to have eternal life. They may not be in church, but deep down in, they want to know how to have eternal life. All the glory to God. And Jesus said, "How do you read the law of Moses?" And then the guy quoted, "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all your heart, all your mind, all your soul, and then you shall love your neighbors yourself." The guy probably said, "The scripture doesn't tell us that. I got the first one right, but I'm not sure about the second one. Would you tell me who my neighbor is?" Jesus said, "Okay, I'll tell you." He said there was a man traveling from Jerusalem to Jericho, and he fell among thieves. They beat him up. It's a parable. A parable is an earthly story that has a spiritual meaning. And Jesus tells that story. May God help us. Jesus' bottom line in this parable, Jesus is saying to you and I, our neighbors, somebody's path you crossed that are in need. Could be next door. Could be in Africa. Could be in China. Could be where you work. Could be in a complex relief. Every day, your neighbor could be sitting in this church this morning. Somebody in desperate need of a touch of God. God, help us to rise in the name of Jesus and demonstrate the love of God to our neighbor. So Levi is coming now. Give Levi a round of applause. He doesn't know me, but I'm very good with kids. Every day I volunteer in 5 Inglewood kids. And I work with dads like Levi. Amen. And Levi is going to lay upon the altar here. All right. He's going to play the role of a man that will beat up on the Jericho road. The Bible said there are 5 key players in this story. First of all, Jesus is during the teacher. If the lawyer, if it not been for the lawyer raising the question about how to eternal life, we wouldn't have it. And then Jesus said there are 3 people that played a role here. One was a priest. Now, when you and I think of a priest, we think of a rabbi, verse 31. When you and I think of a priest, we think of a rabbi, we think of a pastor. We think of somebody that is kind, that is loving, that knows God, or out to help people. We never think of a priest or Levite as being indifferent, or apathetic, or cold. You wouldn't think of that. But the Bible said that the priest didn't call the name of the priest. He said he was on his way from Jerusalem to Jericho. And when he came up on Levi, he saw him, and he passed by on the other side. He said, "How could he have been that cold? How could he have been that indifferent to a man that was beat up?" There are 4 things that happened to Levi on that road. He was beat up, robbed, and killed, and left half for dead. And the priest passed by on the other side. I'm sure he saw the blood. I'm sure he heard the cry. But cold and apathetic, he passed by on the other side. God helping you and I. Every day we pass people that need a touch of God, that need salvation, that need a miracle, that need healing, that need for us to reach out and touch them. And sometimes we can become so cold and apathetic and we pass them by. You see what the priest could have done. Now scripture doesn't tell us that, but let's read between the lines. He might not have helped the person because he didn't have time. Every day I talk to people about volunteering in public schools. I talk to them about volunteering in the police department. I talk to them about getting involved in the lives of other people. And the leading reason why people tell me they don't do it is they don't have time. You'll have friends that didn't come to church today and you'll see them tomorrow. They said, "I don't have time." You know, I think sometimes we're fooling ourselves. I read an article in USA Today the other day, that long ago, that said the average American watched television 199 hours a month. I'm not here preaching against television watching, on and on. But can you imagine how many people I could help? How many people I could pray for that God would save them? How many people I could rise in the name of Jesus? How many teenagers I could help? How many people that have been bruised and hurt and injured that I could help if I sacrifice maybe a third of that kind of time? May the good Lord help us to rise in the name of Jesus and see the need and reach out and touch people for the glory. You and I can make a difference where people can mainly turn it. You and I can make an impact on lives of young people, lost people, people in Africa, people in China, people that are bound with drugs. You and I can make a difference for the glory of God. May the good Lord help us to rise in the name of Jesus and do something for the glory of God. See, sir, it's one thing to see a need, another thing to do something about it. 52 years ago, I was in Vietnam. There was a white soldier from First Assembly God Church in San Diego, California, who was a part of my unit. The guy was not a preacher, but he took a Bible in his back pocket, had the peace of God, the joy of God in his heart. I was a cook with the 9th Infantry, and he went out every day and worked on soldiers that were dying. And I saw something in him, and I asked him one day, what was the difference between he and I, except he was white and I was black. He said, I'm filled with the Holy Spirit. I said, I want what you got. This guy would come in from the fields every now and then. And I said, I want you to have Bible study with me. I want you to pray with me. I want you to say, help me get to know God. I want to get to know God the way you know God. That was a hunger. You see, you and I cross the path of people every day that are hungry with God, that want to know God. God, help us to rise in the name of Jesus and sacrifice the time. Well, he took that time. He prayed with me. I got filled with the Holy Spirit. Not only did I get filled with the Holy Spirit, he and I have Bible study together. He says, I see the call of God in your life. You need to go to Bible college. I said, Bible college? What's that? He stayed on me about going to Bible college. I finally went because he was on my back. Some of us need to get on our neighbor's back. Hallelujah. Neighbors that are lost. Hallelujah. On. And everything I'd done for God, the 40 churches, the 3,000 souls I wanted of Jesus, the 100 young men that are ministered can be traced back to the guy in Vietnam who took the time to rise in the name of Jesus and make a difference for the glory of God. May the good Lord touch our eyes and stir us to rise in the name of Jesus and touch somebody for the glory of God. May it happen for the glory of God. Bible says, Scripture doesn't tell us whether the Levite saw the priest or not, but it says the Levite came down the same path. When he came up on Levite, came up on Levi, he came close. Sometimes we can get close to a need. It's in our neighborhood. It's in our church. It's in our city. And we do nothing about it. Saw the blood, saw the reaching out, and he too passed by. Now, Scripture doesn't tell us whether Levite passed by, but let's read between the lines. That might have been his day to help with the worship service in the temple. That might have been his day to serve as usher. That might have been his day to be a deacon or do something in the temple. And he wasn't about to be interrupted by somebody that had been beaten up. I don't know. Scripture doesn't tell us that. It's amazing. But let's read between the lines. Fear can keep us from making a pledge for missions. I don't know whether I'm going to have enough money for myself or not. Fear immobilizes us. It paralyzes us. It cripples us. It's a motion that you and I need to rise in the name of Jesus and control for the glory of God. The Bible said God has not given us a spirit of fear, but a spirit of power, love, and a sound mind. I have the love of God in me. You have the love of God in that. God, help us to rise in the name of Jesus and demonstrate that love to our neighbor. Demonstrate that love to lost people in Africa. Demonstrate that love to people that are bound in trouble. Every day, God, help me to demonstrate and manifest the love of God. May the good Lord help us. There's a little church I go to every year. I didn't go this last year in Humboldt, Tennessee. I was there. There's about 80 people part of that church. I go there every year because there's something unique about those people. And they were on one Sunday, they was honoring a guy who had been an elder. He was 90 years old. They're celebrating his birthday, 90 years old. He'd been a Sunday school teacher. He'd been a deacon. He'd been an elder. He'd done everything. And they gave him the plaque, and he was standing with the plaque in his hand, and they was taking pictures of the plaque. He says, you know what? I shouldn't be the guy getting this. It should be my neighbor. 40 years ago, I lived beside a neighbor who would invite me to church. He He said I made all kind of excuses, but he kept inviting me. He said one day what I did, I got up one morning and came to that church and sat in the back. Heard the pastor preach. He preached. I walked out and gave my life to Jesus. I got saved. My wife got saved. Not only that, not only my wife got, my kids got saved. And he says, well, you know what? The pastor is my son. Hallelujah. Friend, you don't know who you're going to protect. May God help us to rise in the name of Jesus and reach out and touch somebody. Open our eyes that you and I may see the lost the way Jesus saw. Open our eyes to see and help us stir our spirit. Faith that is stirred and our heart to rise in the name of Jesus and do something for the glory of God. May the good Lord help us. In Jesus' name. Then he said, finally, a Samaritan. The man who was beat up was a Jewish guy. But the Bible said, finally, down that path came a Samaritan. Samaritans and the Jews didn't cross paths at all. They didn't reach out. They had no association with one another. But finally, a man of a different race, different culture, different background came down that path. And it says, when he came up on Levite, he saw the cry, saw the hand reaching out. Oh, Lord. He saw the blood. Oh, Lord. See, the priest saw the need and did nothing. The Levite came near and saw the need and walked away. But the Bible said the Samaritan did 10 things. How many know you and I got to get down sometime to help people? Come on, we got to get down to help somebody. Hallelujah. We may have to talk the language of young people like this. We may have to relate to them and be kind to them. Hallelujah. May God help us to rise in the name of Jesus and be willing to make the sacrifice, whatever the sacrifice is, whether it's time, whether it's prayer, whether it's pleasure, have to make the sacrifice to touch the lives of people. You and I need to make a sacrifice to help the lost find Jesus in Africa. We need to sacrifice to help the lost find Jesus in China. We need to sacrifice to help the Lord find Jesus in American cities that are perishing for the glory of God. God help us. Came upon Levite, and the Bible said he got down. God help us. He got down, and the Bible says he went into his pocket. He had some oil and wine. He took the oil out, all with a soothing project, and put it on him and rubbed him down. Then the Bible said, he could have said, I've done enough. I'm gone. Sometimes we have that spirit and attitude. I've given enough. I made a great enough sacrifice. I can't do no more. But God help us. He took him by the hand. Come on, Louis. I can't lift you up. You're a big guy. Come on. The Bible said, took him by the hand and he stayed in a hotel. This is the inn here. Hold on. And says, you know what? I found Levite on the Jericho Road. He was beat up. He'd been stripped. And he was bleeding. He was lying there. And if I'd have left him, he would have died. There are some people, if you and I don't do anything, they're going to perish. We don't pray. We don't give. We don't get involved. They're going to perish. I found him, ma'am, on the Jericho Road. Here's 2 silver coins. I'm getting ready to go. But if it costs more, how many know? The 2 coins represented two days work. Or on. That's a sacrifice. Well, sometimes we don't want to sacrifice anything to help other people. But may the Lord help us to rise in the name of Jesus. If saving a soul, I'm willing to sacrifice. May your good Lord. He says, I'll pay you when I come back. Amen. May God help us. Let me ask you the question, man. What did the Samaritan have that the other guys didn't have? Oh, yes, all 3 of them was men. What did the Samaritan have that the other 3 didn't have? Oh, you can say that he was a Samaritan, but here he says the key to it. Because we have people sitting in our churches every Sunday morning. And see, this is the thing that you and I can do. God wants you and I to be impact Christians. He don't want us just to come and sing a song and go home and make a difference. You and I can make an impact. What caused the Samaritan to be different, Michael? What caused the Samaritan to be different, John? It was compassion. Hallelujah. Compassion moves you. It stirs you. It compels you. There's no way that you can have compassion and sit on the sideline. There is no way you can have compassion and do nothing. And I pray that you rise in the name of Jesus and say, God, fill my heart with a spirit of compassion. I've felt God in this church since I walked in here this morning. And God want to fill every heart, every life with a spirit of compassion, with a heart like God, with a heart that is moved and stirred for the lost people, whether it be in Chicago or Africa or in China. Why don't we raise our hands all over this building and ask God to fill our heart and break our heart? Come on, let's just all of us raise our hand and ask God to give us a heart like Jesus, a heart that loves people, a heart that is taught, the heart that sees the lead of the Lord and rise in the name of Jesus and do something for the glory. It was 38 years ago when I pastored. I had a policy: if somebody missed church two Sundays, they got a letter from me. They missed three, they got a telephone call. And if they missed four, I was at their door. There's a lady that I didn't know very well. She had visited the church several times, and she had sort of disappeared, what I called, had not been there a long while. And I'm going to use this lady's illustration with the hat on here. At all on, I went to visit her. She lived at 7238 South Union. Went down to visit her. I didn't know that she was a foster lady. She had six foster kids. I didn't know anything about her. I rung a doorbell, and she came to the door. When she came to the door, there's a little baby. She started crying at the height of his voice. And I don't like to hear anybody cry. Or Lauren, I said, ma'am, you gotta stop that baby from crying. She said, no, I'm gonna take care. I'm gonna talk to you, and then I'm gonna give him his bottle and change his diaper, and that's gonna be it. I said, ma'am, if you don't stop that baby from crying, I'm gone. She went upstairs and got the little baby and came downstairs, and this is what she said. I didn't go there to get a baby. I went there to visit a lady that had begun drifting. But I saw a need. She handed the baby out to me like this and said, look what somebody left for the house all by himself. 3 months old, his mother was a prostitute. And I said, get the baby ready. Get his diaper bag. And I'll take him home. And she got the baby ready, got the diaper bag. Now, I'm not a licensed foster parent at all. Everything I did was risked, ordered on. So I took the baby home, and my wife was downstairs washing, and I brought the baby in and laid him on our bed. I said, come and see what we got. She coming running upstairs. She thought I got a check, Cadillac or something like that. Hold on. And when she saw the baby, she says, no way. She said, you got to take him out of here, Spencer. You know what? This man and this woman been married long enough. They made a lot of compromises. We compromised. We said, you know what? Why don't we let him stay here for 3 or 4 days? Hold on. And guess what happened to her after 3 or 4 days? Compassion got the best of her. May good Lord break our hearts today. Hallelujah. Well, finally, I had to recognize that I had to do some, had to talk to the funeral and family service. Went downtown Chicago and talked to him and told him how to get the baby. She said, first of all, sir, this is the craziest thing I've ever seen in my lifetime. You got to take that baby back. I said to the woman that day, I'm going to pray. You're going to let me have this. She didn't say it verbally. She said, yes, you can pray all you want to, but you're not going to give it. I went back home. I was broken. I had people praying. How many know God answered prayer? May you and I, may we get the burden to pray for the lost. May we get the burden to join your pastor in prayer. Prayer touches the heart of God. Prayer moves the hand that made this world. Hold on. Then I get this call about a couple weeks later. She said, Mr. Jones, I think I got a deal for you. He has a brother that's 4 years old. He lives in the suburbs with some whites. We'd like for him to grow up in an African-American home. If you take the brother that's four, you can have the little baby that's 3 months old. What do you think I said? I said yes. This baby began to grow up in my home. I discovered I had a very gifted child. Ted Chow, as handsome as you could be. That's part of his problem today, but being handsome, but we won't deal with that. Or not. He was handsome, could play football, baseball, basketball, and all of that kind of stuff. And I'd sit back and pat myself on the shoulder, and I'd say, look what compassion got me. And then the Spirit of God would quicken me every now and then. Said, you haven't seen nothing yet. Wait till you see people that you pray for my effort. Wait till you see people that you may sacrifice to mission. Wait till you see people that you've brought to Sunday school and church, and you're going to rejoice on the streets of glory forever and ever for the glory of God. I urge you, I plead with you, I exhort you in the name of Jesus to open your heart, to rise in the name of Jesus and reach out and touch people that are lost, that are hurting, that have been wounded by Satan for the glory of God. God help us. Let me say this, you can't give without getting blessed some kind of way. God will find a way. The doctor gave us no chance of ever having kids at all. My wife had gone to the doctor and she discovered that she couldn't have a kid. Then she wanted to drag me along. And so I just went along just to be going along while the doctors discovered that I couldn't have any kids. But God will find a way. 2 years after we got the little baby, God opened my wife's womb. Out came a little girl. Hallelujah. And the doctor said, I don't know how that happened. We said, we don't ever have it. Our God is a great God. Our God is an awesome God. Our God is a powerful God. In the name of Jesus, for the glory of God. And then the doctor said, don't get too excited. This is it. This is a miracle. We don't know how it happened. And guess what happened 2 years later? God did it again. Hallelujah. Glory to God. God did it again. Praise the name. Why don't we raise our hand and praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Our God is awesome. Our God is powerful for the glory of God. Amen. Well, it's probably every man's desire that won't tell you is to have a boy. God never gave me any boys. My birth gave me two boys. One of my girls had a boy. Had nothing to do with it. She named him Spencer. Another girl had a boy. Guess what she did? She named him Spencer. I had a foster, we had 31 foster kids in our home, had a foster girl that would jump on our kids and jump on my girls and beat them up. And I told her what, I said, if you ever jump on my girls again, I'm gonna spank you, order on. She said, I'm gonna call the police. I said, you can call the police, but when you come, you go with them, order on, and that kind of thing. And guess what? She had our first kid. Guess what? She named him Spencer. I got three Spencers. Hallelujah. All because God touched my heart. God will find a way. If you'll rise in the name of Jesus and make a sacrifice to help others, make a sacrifice to reach out and touch people, make a sacrifice to help the lost find Jesus in Africa, in America, next door for the glory of God. May the good Lord help us to rise in the name of Jesus and do it. I'll tell you this story and I'm wrapping up. I'll rest my case. I went to Stone Church about a year ago to meet the new pastor. And on my way back home, there were five little ducks that crossed my path. And some of those little ducks were the little baby ducks, some of the prettiest things you've ever seen. And they crossed in front of us, and they was trying, the mother duck had gotten up off the streets, and little ducks were trying to get up. And every time they would try to get up, they'd fall back down. Hold on, and I passed them by, went about a mile up the road. I start thinking, what would happen if I discovered the next day those ducks got killed? All because I didn't have the time to help them. I turned my car around and went back to where those ducks was. Thank the Lord they'd gotten over. God said, see the sacrifice you made for ducks. What about souls that are lost all around this world? Yes, we love dogs, we love cats. But only humans have a soul that lives forever. May the good Lord help us to recognize the value of a lost soul. And you and I do something to help them. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for this great church. We thank you for this mission conviction. We pray that you stir all of our hearts, God. May all of us make a sacrifice to make a difference in somebody's life, dear Lord. If we'll sacrifice time and prayer and seeking the face of God, people will find Jesus around this world, God, I pray. We thank you, dear Lord. May God, we sacrifice time, money, resources, everything we can in the name of Jesus for the glory of God.